You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
I've been teaching on biblical prosperity the last couple of weeks. Now, if you're just visiting here and you think that's all we teach on, then you'd be sadly disillusioned because we teach on all kinds of things. But prosperity is something that we do teach on. Healing is something we teach on. Salvation is something we teach on. Forgiveness is something we teach on. Holy living is something we teach on. In fact, we just teach on a lot of stuff. If you come a while, we'll get on another subject. But a couple weeks ago, we started teaching on biblical prosperity. God does want to prosper you. He is not in the business of making you poor. If you're poor, you know that better than anybody. If you're struggling with finances, you know that more than anyone. God has no purpose in making you poor. He has no purpose in taking things away from you. In fact, the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now that's off the lips of Jesus. Can you say amen, somebody? And last week we talked about Jesus' ministry in light of this, in light of prosperity. Luke, the 4th chapter, 18th verse, it says, Jesus quoting Isaiah 61, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Heal the brokenhearted, cover sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, and set the captives free. So those five classes of people, the poor, the blind, the bruised, the captive, and the oppressed, those that are oppressed, Jesus came to meet their needs. And so he doesn't have a purpose for you being brokenhearted. He doesn't have a divine plan or destiny for you to be captive. It's not his will that you be oppressed, that you be blind. And it's not his will that you be poor. Now, we live in a broken world, and things like this do happen. You know, this world's got sharp edges. It sticks, it grabs, it bites. It's rough. You live long enough, you're going to get bruised. That's life. This world is messed up. The Bible tells us that. It's real plain. It happened way back there when Adam sinned. The world fell in sin because of Adam. And since sin came into the world, death came into the world. And that wasn't God's plan. God does not end to death. He's into life. And he's into you. He's really into you. It's crazy about you. But he's not into death. That wasn't his plan. That's a result of sin. And so a lot of stuff we see in the world today, we often blame God and we'll say, well, you know, God's all powerful, God's omnipotent, God's in control. We use terms like that. But what we're missing is this was not God's plan. God did not do this. Death was not something he did. That was a result of disobeying God. Are you with me? And in heaven, there's going to be no death. In fact, where God is in complete control, heaven, there is no sickness. There is no death. There is no poverty. There is no depression. There are no hospitals. There are no graveyards, funeral homes. Are you with me? It's not up there. So what's wrong? Well, the Bible tells us what's wrong. What's wrong with the world? Me. You. Not God. God's not wrong with the world. But he came to fix us. Are you out there? Are you thinking about this, okay? He came to fix us because there was something wrong with us.
Praise God.
He came to save us. He came to save us from our sins. Hallelujah. And now he's commissioned us to go out and preach and minister and help and turn this thing around, be a part of the answer instead of part of the problem, you know? Hallelujah. Okay, now I've told you all you're the problem. You're ready to get in the Word now. Well, you are the answer too. You know, if you want to know the truth, we were the problem. Now we are the answer in Christ. Jesus is the answer in us. Isaiah 48, turn there. I want to go over one verse there talking about prosperity. God doesn't want you poor. He doesn't have a purpose for poverty. He gains nothing from your poverty. It doesn't make you a better person. It doesn't help you. Anybody's doing without, you know that's the case. In fact, we're commanded by God to help the poor. So if it were God's will, he'd tell you to leave them alone. They're building character and getting spiritual. Don't go help them. But he tells us emphatically to give to the poor, to help the poor, and so on and so forth. Jesus was in the habit of doing it. Judas went to help the poor. They thought he was helping the poor when he was betraying Jesus. In fact, when he went, the Bible says to betray him, the 13th chapter of John, says they thought he was going to give to the poor. That's interesting, because they had a habit of doing that. You know, there's nothing to gain from poverty. I can't help you when I'm poor. And see, we often just, get over that and go to the next step, but we still ain't got far enough. We get to the step of just having our needs met. There's a good one. You know, I got food on the table and a roof over my house and clothes on my back. And if you got that, that's about all you can wish for in life and ought to be happy. Well, yes, you ought to be grateful for everything that you have. But wouldn't you like to help somebody else? Amen. Just a thought. Wouldn't you like to get past your needs and actually help somebody else? Wow. So even if I'm just getting my needs met, I'm still not there yet. That's a good start, and we ought to shoot for that. If we're in the first grade, by all means, let's go to the second. Hello. Don't skip grades. But let's don't stay in the second. Let's get through that and get into third. And let's just keep going up. Now, is God going to make us all millionaires? No, I do not believe that. I do not believe the Bible teaches that. But the Bible does teach that we all relatively should prosper. If I was in India preaching, I'd be believing with them to get a bicycle, so they can go from village to village and preach on a bicycle, and then believe they get a motorcycle. Are you with me? Wherever you are, let's believe God to take you to the next step. If you're in a business, let's believe for favor with people that you do business with. If you're just working on a job, let's believe for raises and promotions. Listen, turn that TV off. Are you with me? Man, it's so negative when it comes to the economy and money and finances and so on and so forth. I know these are rough times in the natural, but my God is bigger than these rough times. His word is still true. Hallelujah. It does pay to believe Him and trust Him. He has no purpose in smashing me like a bug. He has no purpose in taking everything I got away from me. He wants me to be a blessing. He said, well, look what happened to Solomon. Well, let's wait a minute. Solomon, God's the one that blessed Solomon with that money. And it wasn't that money. It was all those women. Stay with me, women. One woman is enough for anybody. He had 300 wives and 700 concubines, and he made all these political marriages, and he let them bring their temples in and their gods in. That's where he messed up. And he got away from God. But let's make no mistake about it. In fact, I want to read that here in a moment, that God's the one that blessed him. Riches did not corrupt Solomon. Corruption comes from within. It doesn't come from without. It doesn't come from money. It comes from greed. It comes from lust. Abraham was extremely rich in gold, cattle, and silver. Genesis 13, chapter 1 and 2 verses tell us. He was extremely rich in gold, cattle, and silver. It didn't corrupt him. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph was the right-hand man of Pharaoh. Saved the whole nation of Israel. He was prospered. He went from the prison to the palace overnight. Given the golden ring, rode in the second chariot. Was over all the finances of Egypt. Didn't corrupt him. In fact, God exalted him. Amen. Joseph Arimathea gave Jesus his tomb. Very rich man, the Bible tells us. He wasn't corrupted. His heart was right. Pretty good businessman, too. Jesus only used it for 3 days. And he got it back. Wow. So, I just want you to know, you got to get this out of your head. You're thinking that for some reason God wants you that way. No, God does not want you that way. God does not want you that way. Now, there's no condemnation if you're in that mess. We've all been there. We've all fallen on hard times. So let's just get out of it. It's not a sin to be poor, but it's a sin to want to stay poor. It's not a sin to be sick, but it sure is a sin to want to stay sick when Jesus bore stripes on his back that you might be healed. Come on, let's get healed. Let's get out of this mess. Let's get in the Word and find out what God says. Isaiah 48, real quick. That's a kind of a key verse here. Y'all glad you came? I believe this will help you. And I just want to go through the Scripture and, you know, if nothing else, just drill it in and drill it in, because we're hammered at with lies so much, we begin to believe the lie. You know, you hear a lie long enough, you start believing it. And it just makes no sense that God would be so cruel, that God would want to have some purpose in this. You know, when Jesus came and destroyed that whole thing, He lived His whole life healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out the devil, stopping storms, helping the poor people. Never made anybody sick. Never took anybody's money away. Never burned anybody's house down. Never started any storms. And as I often say, the only people He ever gave a headache to were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And that was their fault. That was a joke. Okay, make sure you're out there. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the... Oh, that devil. Yeah, there is a devil, see. And he is your enemy, your adversary. The devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Wow. There is a devil out there. There is evil. There is corruption. There is poverty. There is sickness. There is pain. There's all those things. And you're not. I'm not saying you're going to avoid everything in life. You get sucker punched sometimes. Sometimes tragedy happens. I understand that. So we don't belittle or demean the effect of that. I mean, we've all hurt. Come on. You cut us, we bleed, you know. But God's not the one doing the cutting. That's what we need to understand. And God's not, it's not His will for you to be in this pain and this poverty. And He came to set you free. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. And hopefully we get a hold of some of this before we die. Hopefully we'll experience a little heaven down here before we get to heaven. And it's going to take some work. It will take some effort. It takes some retraining of your mind. You know, the Bible says, my people perish, Hosea 4:6. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. He didn't say people. He said my people perish. Sometimes we, good Christians, love God, have great intentions, sometimes perish for lack of knowledge. Amen. God's wanting to help us, and we don't know. We're not aware, you know. But see, if we'll continue in the Word, Jesus said this. He said, if you continue my Word, 8th chapter of John, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Hallelujah. I want to be free. How about you? Free to help. Free to bless. Free to help others. Isaiah 48, notice what it says here, the 17th and 18th verses. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. Who leads you by the way that you should go. Wow. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments. Then had your peace been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Oh, man, that's good stuff. Amen. Think about it. If we'll let God teach us, then God will teach us to prosper. Now, see, therein, I think, lies the answer. Oftentimes, we're just asking for money, and we ought to be asking for wisdom. Yeah. Isn't that the case? I mean, here you have, we talked about Solomon, who was the richest man that we know of in the Bible. There was no king as rich before him. There was no king after him as rich, is what God told him. But how did those riches come? It came through the wisdom that God gave him. So in many cases, we're asking for a quick fix, and God's wanting to, you know, we're wanting to fish, and God's wanting to teach us how to fish. Isn't that right? Lord, just get me out of this mess, I'll serve you. Well, sometimes we need to ask ourselves how we got in that mess. Now, I'm not saying you're at fault every case if you're in a mess, but sometimes it's our fault. Sometimes it's bad management. Sometimes we're not handling it right. But whatever the case, if we weren't at fault, we sure want to make sure we're not at fault in the future. There are multiple reasons why you fall on hard times, and it could be you, it could be all kinds of things. So don't beat yourself over the head. We're not about that. You know, don't live in the past. But I don't want God just to bless me and just give me money. I want God to give me wisdom to handle the money and be a wise steward of what He's given me. If I'm faithful in the little, the Bible says He'll put me over the much. So if I do everything I can with what I have, just the law of God, the principle of God says that I will begin to prosper. And there are sometimes things that we can do where we are. You may not think so, but there are. The Bible's filled with information about how to handle finances. Not just tithes and offerings. Not just our giving, as it were. But it talks about the money that we keep. Because it's all the Lord's. Amen. And we talk about Joseph. And man, you know what exalted Joseph? He interpreted a dream. You know what the interpretation was? A 14-year budget and savings plan. Yeah. That's exactly what it was. It was a 14-year budget and savings plan. There were 7 years of plenty coming, followed by 7 years of famine that was going to eat up all the produce and increase from the 7 years of plenty. And so he had a plan. He said, here's what you need to do. Set aside in all these good years each year, set aside, put it in granaries, put it in storage, so when the 7 years of famine come, you're ready for it and you got a plan. Supernatural dream from heaven. Visited Pharaoh in the night. Supernatural interpretation, Joseph exalted from the prison to the palace. And it was a 14-year budget and savings plan. I bet they didn't feel all that spiritual every time they set that money back and budgeted and watched and kept account of everything that came in and put that savings aside. I bet they weren't thinking they were real spiritual at that. This doesn't feel like Holy Ghost bumps. But it was the most spiritual thing they could have done because it was what God told them to do. And spiritual is doing what God says to do. Isn't that right? Wouldn't be being spiritual would be doing what God says to do. Hallelujah. That's why character counts. Integrity counts. That's why those little things you do every day about praying for people, being nice and kind, that's just as spiritual as speaking in other tongues. Hello. We make much of the gift sometimes and not much of character. Well, gifts may open doors, but character keeps them open. Gifts may get you to the top, but character keeps you from falling off. Okay. So he says, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am your Lord, your God, who teaches you to profit, who teaches you to profit, teaches you to go under, teaches you to be poor. No, teaches you to profit. God wants to teach you to profit, to prosper. In fact, he is the one. Turn over to 8th chapter of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 8. Hallelujah. I'm so glad y'all came. Not that I wouldn't preach to my family. They probably need it. I need it. Praise God. Deuteronomy the 8th chapter. Man, this is such an awesome thing. I love this. This is where God talks about them going into the land of promise and getting blessed, and you know, and they're going to have houses and silver and gold and wow. 11th verse. Deuteronomy 8:11. Because you ought to watch your heart now. You got to watch greed. The thing you don't ever want to do is lust after money or go after money or seek after money or seek after riches. Seek after God and let God bless you. Seek after God. Do what God says and the money will come. You know, you might seek after riches and not get them. A lot of people went out in the 1800s out to California, never hit the gold, never struck the mother lode. They were going after the gold. You might go after silver. See, this is why the Bible says wisdom is better than silver and riches and better than gold. You might go after silver and come up short. You might go after gold and not get any. But if you seek after wisdom, you'll get it every time. Because the Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth comes understanding. So if you really seek God for wisdom, you won't come up short. That's something that always pays dividends. It always works. He stores it up for the righteous. And He says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, gives to all men liberally, and it shall be given. Let him ask in faith, nothing waver. He that wavers like a wave of the sea, tossed to and fro, let not that man think that he should receive anything of the Lord. But if you ask in faith, He'll give it to you, and you'll get it every time. Sure deal. It's not playing the lotto. It's not pulling the lever hoping it comes up triple nickels. It's asking God, who is not a man that He'd lie, nor the son of man He'd repent. And God says He'll give you wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom for my finances. Lord, give me wisdom concerning the monies that I have, and the checks I have coming in, and the incomes that I do have. Lord, give me wisdom. Show me how I can be a better steward of what I have. Lord, teach me to profit. See, it changes the emphasis somewhat from, Lord, give me money. Lord, get me out of this mess. Lord, where I'm believing for this certain amount. Nothing wrong now with calling a certain amount in or believing, but you need to understand that God uses you to bring that to pass. That when God blesses financially, He blesses the work of your hand. Isn't that right? And so it should always come down to, now Lord, what do You want me to do? Not just walking around going, hey, I'm waiting. Waiting for it to fall out of heaven. It doesn't fall out of heaven. In the Bible, God prospered jobs. He prospered produce. He prospered, there's all kinds of occupations in Jesus' time. There were tax collectors and there were money changers that made money off the exchange. There were fishermen and carpenters and farmers, and my goodness, the list goes on and on and on of people. The disciples were some of these. Paul himself built tents while he was ministering. And God blessed him, and God took care of him. Whew. Now, don't limit him to those things. We don't limit him to those things, but we do all we can do. We say, God, use me to the best of my ability, and then whatever I can't do, yeah, hey, where I lack, take up the slack. No doubt, but I want to make sure I'm doing all I can. Lord, give me wisdom. Am I doing everything I'm supposed to be doing? We sure like to look at everybody else, don't look at ourselves. You ever notice that? And it's always some other reason why we're not making it, not ourselves. I think we ought to wake up like Pogo did in those old political cartoons and came out of that swamp with that pot on his head and this swamp, this mop in his hand, and he says, we have found the enemy, and he is us. I think we need a revelation. that sometimes we're our own worst enemy. Not all the time, but I'm saying, are we doing everything we can do? Are we examining ourselves whether we are in the faith or not? Good question. Amen. Got to watch greed now. We're not going to see. If you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, well, all these things will be added to you. Amen. Priority, get priority right, and of course, God will bless you. Notice what it says here in Deuteronomy 8. He's talking to him about going to the promised land. The 10th verse, he says, when you have eaten and you're full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. There's a good case for praying after you finish your meal. But anyway, that's another one. Just a thought. When you're eating and you're full, then you ought to bless the Lord. Y'all asleep on me today? I'm just giving it all I got here. I don't know what else to do. When you have eaten and you are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Beware, beware, that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwelt in them, it'll happen. I mean, God does that. He blesses people with that. If you serve God and you trust God, God will do that. He will if you trust Him. Now, I realize we're working against God in a lot of cases. As Christians, we're actually believing not to prosper, and we think for some reason there's something bad about it. And if we get a little bit, we feel guilty. And yet, that's not what the Bible teaches. And so we're kind of working against God a lot of times because we're not believing for it at all. We're limiting God, and we shouldn't. We should let Him pull the stops off, let Him bless us. I've heard people say, I've heard people I respect say, well, tithe, you owe that to God, but you got to give to be blessed. Well, the problem with that is the Scripture. Oh, man, it always comes down to that, doesn't it? What does the Bible say? The Bible says, bring the tithe into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, find out, open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you don't have room to receive. So God does bless us for the tithe. He blesses us for the 10% that we give and anything above that. He blesses us for all that we give. The idea that I just owe that to God, well, I owe everything to God. My whole life's God's. I owe my life to God. But whatever I give to Him, He will bless. So if you're a tither, you ought to know this, that God rebukes the devourer for your sake, that you are a delightsome land, that God opens up the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing to you that you don't have room to receive. You should be getting ready, if you're a tither and you're faithful and you tithe, be getting ready for God to bless you so much that you don't have room to receive it. That means you ought to be looking to help others and bless others. Why? Because I'm a tither. Well, what about the economy? I don't know about the economy, but I'm a tither. And I have given God my permission to bless me. I have decided to trust Him, so I'm going to turn this tithe over to Him and say, God, I know what all the world's saying. I know what my finances are. But I know what Your Word says. And I'm saying, Lord, I believe Your Word, and I'm going to trust You with this. And let Him bless you. I don't have my trust in money. I have my trust in You. I'm not going after money. I'm going after You. I'm going to do what You say. Woo. What extent would you go to make money? Play the lotto? Sell your home? Now stay with me. People do things like this. They put all their faith in, say, a lotto or in investment. I'm not against investments because I believe we should make investments. The Bible says that. But sometimes we sell the farm, And that's not wise. You don't do that to make investments. We go to all kinds of lengths to make scams and schemes and multi-level marketing things and, everything. Some good, some bad. Stay with me. But we do all kinds of things, but we wouldn't spend a little time with Jesus. We wouldn't get some wisdom. My hat's off to anybody who goes off to college, goes off to school, goes off to nursing school. Tyrell's not here today, but he just graduated from nursing school. Thank God. That's awesome. Go off to paramedic school, fireman school, go off to college to learn a trade or a profession or whatever and put in the time and put in the effort. You know what? They're studying. They're getting wisdom because that's going to bring dividends or money. I didn't do that. I have to admit I didn't have that opportunity. I got saved, got called to ministry, and next thing I knew I was in India eating off a banana leaf. Thinking, my God, what am I doing over here? Jesus, what have you done to me? You know, turn around, I was in the Passion River in the Patan jungle. Listen to howler monkeys at night. You've been there, Dr. Gabby. You've been down that place in Elam Stofa's place down Patan jungle. I spent 8 days in the jungle, no roads, no cars, nothing but a river. Preached in thatch roof villages. So I started ministering, doing missionary work, and then, of course, began to pastor. And I just really didn't have time. I was so stirred up, so fired up, so turned on. I was preaching in prisons and open-door missions and Salvation Armies. And goodness gracious, started doing missionary work and saving up money. And my money, I'd use it to go to missions, you know. Go around the world. And then God called me to teach. I started teaching at Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, and taught there for years. And we were over the counselors for 2 years, Brent and I were. And then God called me to the huge, thriving metropolis of Wills Point, Texas, to start a church. Woo! Woo! And I knew I'd hit the big time. And I said, yes, Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Glory.
But I'm glad I came. Amen.
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 Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. But my hat's off to those that do spend time learning, getting wisdom, getting understanding in the natural. But why would we not do that in the spirit? Why would we not spend time with God in His Word and find out what He has to say? Did you know He talks about budgeting and saving and borrowing, cosign, investing, working? He talks about all those things. I mean, over and over He talks about that. 16 of the 38 parables Jesus spoke had something to do with money. In fact, the good deeds we talk about, the Good Samaritan. Man, the guy was blessed. He had enough money to put that guy in the hotel for 2 days and come back and pay whatever the difference was. He had oil and wine. He had a donkey. And that priest and that Levite, they were walking. Go read it. Prodigal son, we talk about the prodigal son. Their dad gave them their inheritance while he was still living. And one of them went off and spent every bit of it. And when he came back, he took him in, gave him a golden ring, a fatted calf, a new robe, and threw a party. Still had money. Can you do that? I got 5 kids. That is not going to happen. But I mean, can you do that? I mean, we read those parables and we don't think about the implication. That man had to be blessed. And Jesus was not ashamed to use him as an example. We want to think about the rich man Lazarus, the one who went to hell. That's what we want to think about. That's what riches will do. Yeah, but you're missing all the other parables that rich men weren't bad. They were good. They helped people. Nothing wrong with riches. What's wrong with the heart? See? And that's what he's dealing with here in Deuteronomy 8. He's telling us, beware now, beware, 11th verse, that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, His statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, everybody say, eaten and are full.
Eat and are full.
Hallelujah. It's going to happen now. And when you built beautiful houses and dwelt in them, and when your herds and your flocks are multiplied, and your silver and your gold's multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. Whoa, what is this? Is this in your Bible? Is that in there? Are you reading that? Is that in your Bible? You know I'm perplexed. I've gone into falsetto. Huh? It's in your Bible? There it is, right there. This is what we need to watch. When your heart is lifted up and you forget, 14th verse, the Lord your God. That's what you got to watch. Not money. God blesses us with money. Not riches. God blesses us with riches. Not homes. There's nothing wrong with having a home. You ought to believe God and trust God for one. You ought to believe God to get you out of debt. If you're in debt, believe God to get out of debt. If you're renting, you ought to believe God to get to a point where you can buy your home and pay payments instead of just pay rent. And then you ought to believe God to get it paid off and get out of debt. You ought to believe God for that. You ought to thank God, trust God, and pray for that. And ask God to give you wisdom on how to do that. Start budgeting. Start watching your money. Start paying extra on your note. Get it paid off early. Stop eating so many candy bars. Starbucks. Whatever the case may be. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's using wisdom. Are you going to say Starbucks? You're going to... Oh, come on, that's it. Oh, that's it, really. You've got to change the way you're thinking about this thing. And this is no condemnation. Do you understand that? I mean, come on, I've been through tough times, my goodness. I remember my house in foreclosure, you know, they're going to close the thing down. They wanted more money than what it was worth, and, you know, and we were trusting God and doing everything we could and trying to feed kids. We fell on tough times in the church. I worked on the market for 3 years, and in Dallas. But you know what? I thank God for that job, and I prayed for that job, and the money came in, you know, to pay. I got kids. Man doesn't provide for his own household. He has denied the faith. The Bible says, and he's worse than infidel. Are you with me? Now, I understand there are reasons sometimes we follow in hard times. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's, maybe you're retired or whatever. So you put that in context. I understand that there are sometimes reasons why we can't work. But I was believing God to take care of our family while the church was still going on. I got a job where I could be off on Sundays and Wednesdays. Those were the 2 days I was off. So I could keep coming down here preaching and keep this church going. Because I believe this was the will of God. This church, this was God's plan. This is what God wanted. I was not going to let the devil have this church.
Amen.
But I wasn't going to let the devil starve my kids either. Because I'm a husband and a father, and I have responsibility. So I did that. It was tough. It was some tough times. I remember getting up at 2 and 3 in the morning and driving over to the market. You know, you had to get there early. Working 50, 60 hours a week. And then just exhausted on Wednesdays and Sundays, you know, and come in here and preach happy.
Amen.
Preach glad, preach prosperity.
Amen.
Preach God wants to bless you. I didn't get up here and whine and moan and groan about all that. Y'all quit your crying. Can I help you? I don't mean that in a bad way, but it doesn't help. It doesn't help.
Yeah.
I know we get hurt. I know we cry, but you know, you got to, sometime, you got to quit the crying. And you got to say, God, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
And let's get up and let's do it. Man up. Listen, if you're hurting, call somebody. We'll help you. We'll stand with you. We're not condemning anybody. But I know it's not, I can't help you forever. And nobody else can help you forever. You can't help me forever. At some point, I'm going to have to trust God. And you've got to trust God. And God's trying to tell us how to get out of this mess. Let's get our heart right. He wants to bless us. It's not Him we're fighting. We're not fighting God. God's for us. Amen? Let's go on just a little further. Y'all give me a little more time? Okay. I hadn't got to where I wanted to get, so we'll have to start that next week, but let me finish this. 14th verse. When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage and who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land, where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock. You ever think about that? What does God have to do to prove to us He can supply? They were in the middle of the desert and God brought water out of a rock. How bad your situation? Do you not remember? That's what He's saying. Do you not remember how I supplied your need when nobody could? When you would have died without me? In the desert I took care of you. 16th verse. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you. Humble you how? People say, well, He humbled me by making me poor. No, He humbled you by showing you that He could supply your need when there's no way you could have done it without Him. When He said He humbled you, what He meant by that, He's humbled you in this sense. He showed you that you need Him. And that He can do anything, anywhere, anytime. Drop you in the middle of the desert, and if you'll believe God, God will get you out of that desert. You'll find water, you'll find food, and you'll come out alive.
Amen.
If you trust God. Because nothing is bigger than God. No enemy. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know. I win.
I win.
I win. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know. I win. I win.
Yeah.
Now you're starting to get it. No matter what the weapon is, no weapon formed against you will prosper. But every tongue arises against you in judgment, you will condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Isaiah 55:14. Okay. Excuse me. I am healed in Jesus' name.
Isaiah 54:17.
What'd I say? Whatever I said, it's Isaiah 54:17. 16th verse, who fed you in the wilderness and with manna which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you, that He might test you and do you good in the end. How did He test them? By meeting their need. How did He test them? By getting them to trust God. Then you say, this is where you get in trouble when you start prospering and being blessed. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has got me this wealth. I might remind you, your hand came from God. If you work your fingers to the bone, your bones, God made them. There's nothing you have that He didn't give you. So we work hard, but He gets the glory because He's the one who gave us the gifts, the talents, the abilities, the favor, all these things. And it says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. Whoa. What? I thought the devil was the one who made you rich. Well, that may be. It's just not in the Scripture. Hello? I mean, you may believe that. You may hear that. That might be true, but it's just not in the Scripture. In the Scripture, it says God makes us rich. Okay.
That's right.
In the Scripture, it was God that made Solomon rich. In the Scripture, God is the one that blessed Abraham. In the Scripture, it's God that exalted Joseph to the right hand of Pharaoh. In the Scripture, it is God who gives us the power to get wealth. In the Scripture, it was the Lord that teaches us to profit. In the Scripture, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. In the Scripture, He daily loads us with His benefits. In the Scripture, He delights in our prosperity. In the Scripture, in the Bible now, it says that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In the Scripture, it says the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack for any good thing. In the Scripture, it says, oh, I've been young and I've been old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed out begging for bread. Are you with me? Now, that's what the Scripture says, my brother and sister. And here it says, for it is He that gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. Whew. Man, if that don't make you want to shout, I don't know what will.
Amen.
I want to be a covenant person. You know, a covenant with God, agreement with God, a contract with God. And in the Scripture, God gives me the power to get wealth to establish His covenant.
Amen.
You know, I think just on a practical standpoint, our church, for instance, and I say this often, the things that we do, when we talk about prosperity, I like to talk about what we're doing. I like to talk about the missions we're supporting, the food bank, and the Hallelujah Night, are you with me? Television that we're doing, and reaching out to people. See, that's prosperity. Prosperity is turning gold into souls. Now, you can't reach those souls without that gold. I mean, you can reach one and you can be a witness, but think how much more you could do if you had more money to reach out. How many more missions could you support? How many more crusades would go on? How many more Bible colleges would get built? How many more food would we have to give to people? See, it's got to come down to that. It's all about others. It's all about souls. It's all about blessing others, but it takes money to bless others. It takes money to do that. And so we enough of this idea that God wants you poor. He does not want you poor. He wants to bless you.
Amen.
Now, wherever you are, I don't know where you are. We're 100 different people in here, 100 different levels. But wherever we are, can we not just believe God to go to the next level?
Amen.
Amen. And how are we going to do that? Through wisdom. Through wisdom. We'll get into that. I didn't really get into details this week. We'll talk about more about wisdom. Get into Proverbs. There's what Solomon wrote most of the Proverbs, and he was the richest man we know of, and he gave us a lot of wisdom in Proverbs. So be good to go in there and check that out. This is not man's program. This is why this should stir you and help you. This is not a financial seminar with some human programs and humanism. Sometimes those principles that work in the world are actually biblical principles. They just don't give God the credit. Sometimes they're not biblical principles. Sometimes you get out there and times get rough, you'll give up because it's just man that told you that. But let me give you some insight here. If you trust God and you find out what God says to do and you start doing it and things get rough, you'll hang in there longer because you're believing God. And you know it works because God said so. And you won't give up. Most of the time we just give up. But if you know God's behind this, that God said do this, that God said this will work, and you trust God, you're going to keep doing it. And you go right through the valley of the shadow of death and come out the other side.